we've spent last couple of weeks studying the idea that in order for us to be in Him or in Christ, we have to exchange gods. And that the God that we worship all our life is ourselves, the evil one. And we have to exchange gods. Otherwise, we can rant all the time about how Christ is in us, but it's not going to do you any good because you're not in Christ. So let's look at some other areas where this kind of comes into, it's not directly, but we'll try to make it understandable. I didn't even bring this on, did I?
I don't know. Startled.
I guess I did. I didn't even know I did. Anyway, so let's go to Joshua chapter 7. Anybody else really hot?
It's hot in here. I got back from walking. So I'm a little hot.
It's not really very hot.
Oh,
it's
okay.
76.
Well, must be me.
Warmish.
In chapter 7, the children of Israel were supposed to go up to this place called Ai, and defeat the inhabitants of the land. Ai is the second place that they went after Jericho. So the Israel had just crossed the Jordan. They've seen the miracle of the walls of Jericho falling down by themselves. Essentially, it was God gave them Jericho without any of the Israelites being killed. So now their next job is to go to Ai. And Joshua sent, he was going to send a whole big bunch, or somebody was going to, and then they just said, we'll send a few because they're just a small. Anyway, and the inhabitants of Ai defeated them, killed a bunch of let's start in verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even into Sheb Arim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do upon thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand it before thine enemies, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by household, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. But when I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonian's garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So what's this going on? The thing that's striking about when we study the Old Testament as a type of Christ is that one member can cause irreparable harm to the whole community. Now, is that the same today? I don't know. But I think we ought to think it's the same today, just to be on the safe side. But you know what happens now, right? Everybody knows what happened to Achan. He was killed, his family was killed. All evidence of his existence was destroyed. And what does that have to do with exchanging gods? Anybody?
Is it the gold and the silver, the glory and the redemption, and he sought that prize for himself and didn't trust in God, he trusted in.
Right. The biggest problem was not that. The biggest problem was the Babylonian garment. That was the one that's named first.
Yeah.
What is a Babylonian garment?
Religion instead of the righteousness of Christ.
It's the most common religion in the world. It's called worshiping cause and effect. That's the sin of Babylon, and that's having the Babylonian garment on, because it's the greatest enemy of faith there is. So you lean on your own arm of understanding because you because you just, that's what you do. But it's as natural as breathing to live by cause and effect. Until you find out that cause and effect is keeping the same God that you had before. So sometime, someplace, somewhere, you've got to repent of living by cause and effect and thinking by cause and effect and move toward the mystery of God, which is faith alone. Now, does anybody believe that?
Yeah.
Anybody have any comment about it? It's kind of drastic. God had said, they shall not take any of the spoils of Jericho, for all of Jericho was harem, or harem, it's H-E-R-E-M. It means unclean by definition. There's no way to make them clean. There's no, nothing. Now, and again, if you believe what I've taught for many years, Jericho was a walled city, and it was the city of incense, sweet smelling plants and all these grand old trees and flowers, and a 8-foot thick wall surrounding it, so it was safe from any and while that Jericho is meant to show us is the your mind is the sweet savor, but it's not a sweet savor unto God, it's a sweet savor unto you. That's the sweet incense that you burn continually. Anybody understand, or anybody? Probably all of you, none of you ever do this. None of you ever think in your mind about all these good things that are going to happen. The sweet savor that's going to make you rich and famous and wonderful, a perfect believer. And it's all worshiping the same old God, the same old guy, the evil one. Babylonian garment is the tell, because that's cause and effect. You still have on the Babylonian garment, and you take it off just when you come to Bible study. You hide the rest of it in the tent, or in your tabernacle, if you will. You are the tabernacle, or the tent of the living God. City of fragrance. And then what Gary said about the silver and gold. Silver is self-redemption. This is the most common sin there is. And then gold is the glory of man. That's why in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they had to have, with everything that went into the earth, remember what it was? They had a silver, I don't even know what the name of it is.
I think it's what they called it.
Huh?
Didn't they call it socket?
Yeah, the socket for the tent pegs were encased in silver, so that there was nothing of the ground that was in could get in the tabernacle. So And again, it was, it was every peg of the, or of the tabernacle in wilderness, and it was a big tabernacle, had to have the silver to keep it from touching anything of the earth. So, but without that silver there, then it's defiled. And if you use the silver illegally, then it's self-redemption. Amen? So, I mean, this is a pretty... One guy did just a little kind of thing and put all these goodies under his tent or in his tabernacle. At least 36 men were killed when they went to Ai, but now he was destroyed and all his family and all his goodies were burned. No one else could take him. Now, why is that in the Bible? Why is this story in the Bible? Does it have anything to do with us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom, are you asleep?
No, I'm just thinking about why it's in the Bible.
Well, I want you to consider this whole thing. Well, let's just read the rest of it, and I'm gonna cut it short today. Starting again in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, or tabernacle, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge, and the gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned with stones and buried them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor. The valley of big time trouble. Now, do you think any of us are hiding any Babylonian garments? Is there any place that you've got some gold and silver hid there instead of faith?
Can't say no.
Huh?
You can't say no. Unless you're dead.
That's why you are dead. We're going to study this deep more completely, but go for a minute to 1 Corinthians 15. This section of 1 Corinthians 15 is about the form of it's the form in the form of us, if you will, in heaven, if we go there, is not the form that we now have. I did it again yesterday. I was in bed all day and I was flipping through the channels, and then last night too, and found religious television. Telling you how to get all the Babylonian stuff, which just is hilarious. But anyway, from if you're studying this, you should start in verse 35. But we're going to start is in verse 41.
Oh, 14?
15. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And and so it was written, or is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, if Jesus Christ, which it says, is the last Adam, then who are we? From God's standpoint, each one of us is a representative of the evil one. Because we are still living by the tools of the fall of man. Remember this interesting, frightening scripture. Unless you be converted and become as that little child, of innocence without self-awareness, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of God. Except you be converted and become as that little child, there's no, a little child didn't even know what cause and effect is yet. He's hungry, he bawls, or screams, or says something. But, and if he has to go to the bathroom, he does, wherever he is, or she is. I mean, they just live without self-awareness. Except you become as that little child, unless you return to that innocency, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We probably should take that one out of the Bible. It's probably a mistranslation. It probably doesn't really mean that. We can't really believe the Bible. Oh, yes, you better. So if he was the last Adam, then who are you? Just as it says in 1 John 4, there are many, many antichrists. Now they're legion. some point you have to address these issues in your life, in your faith, in your walk with God. If you have any indication, if there's the slightest inkling that what I'm teaching is true, then again, take the lowest seat. Say, Father, I don't know what else to do. But never justify yourself. Never justify no faith. The entire Bible is a warning against justifying no faith. And we've invented a million more reasons than justifying it. Anyway. Nobody has any response other than what you already given.
I have one little response about Jesus when he was questioned by Pilate and going through that whole thing. I was thinking this. They accused him of many things.
He what?
They accused him of many things, but he didn't answer.
He didn't say,
no, that's and I think about how people hate to be blamed and accused, and they'll do anything to rise up and justify, that's not, no, I didn't do it, it's not my fault. We don't want to be guilty.
That's especially true for believers. But it's too scary to live by faith alone. Well, the thing that the reason that we studied this morning is, again, in line with this changing gods. But the evidence of that's the reason we had the Babylonian garment looked at, because that's the evidence that you haven't exchanged gods. If you're still using it, going by cause and effect in your life, you're still worshiping the god, the evil one. No matter how many times you use the name of Christ on it, the garment is spotted by the flesh. No. You must reach a point where you, what does it say? Some have compassion, pulling them out of the fire, and others save with fear, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Well, I've learned to hate, abhor, despise that garment. And I pray that each one of you do too. Otherwise, you'll use the tools of Babylon. Tools of the evil one. I said Babylon's just another name for the evil one.
The Babylonian religion is just all the religion of the flesh,
right?
And well, they don't think it's the flesh.
No, but I mean that the whole point is, and the Antichrist tries to look as much like Christ as he can.
Because again, he's the instead of Christ.
He's instead of, so that makes it pretty subtle. And it's this subtlety that we're dealing with. We would like it to be really drastic, black and white. But when it's subtle, it takes a little more discernment to see what you're doing.
Well, if your walk is anything like mine, my mind automatically figured out every possible reason why what I just said wasn't true. But when you come right down to it, the reason that it is true is because you're trying to prove that it isn't true with the one who was designed to to prove it isn't true.
Right.
And you will automatically then have to excuse this in the so-called scriptures, and you'll come up with 1,000 reasons that this isn't the real truth. You may not ever say it, but you believe it. Otherwise, that's why it's maybe time for this community to start praying to see the fear of God and feel it with all its heaviness. That's what we're supposed to be doing when you do the 3-year cycle, because that's all it does, just about. If you see and hear with the ear, with open ears or circumcised ears, you can't read that without seeing and living the fear of God in you. And oh, God, it's just a fear of that. You redefine that a whole 1,000 ways. Anyway, I've talked more than I wanted to. It's good to see you, Mr. What's your name? That's hardly ever here. Thomas Brooks in the flesh. Take it, big guy.